Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Well, welcome back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And joining us for this final segment, it's a sad segment because I was kind of thinking that when I usually set this particular guest up, we were going to be kind of taking a little bit of a peek as to the NHL playoffs and our very own Boston Bruins, how well they might make out in the playoffs this year. But unfortunately, it is not to be. Joining us is the radio voice of the Boston Bruins. You can hear on 98.5, the Sports Hub, WBZ-FM. We have Dave Gosha joining us. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Hey, doing all right, Kevin. Obviously, yeah, I agree with you. This is usually a playoff preview, or if it's a season wrap-up, it's usually a good month or month and a half from now. So, but unfortunately, that was not the case this year.
And it's kind of a double whammy for you, if I'm correct, because not only did the Bruins close out their season in a rough way, but I believe your Terriers were not successful in the Frozen Four championship game.
Yeah, that was a good point. It was a double whammy is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I kind of had an eye on what was going on with the Terriers and, following it online or in the Twitterverse, if you will. And, yeah, the Bruins got knocked out Saturday night officially with about, 11 and a half minutes left in the third period. And then, obviously, things kind of came apart on BU. So, yeah, it wasn't. I would say this, Kevin, I'm a proud Rhode Islander, and, I used to go to a lot of Providence College games as a kid growing up and played a lot of games, the Utah games at Schneider Arena. So, I was saying to somebody yesterday, if the Terriers were going to lose, as tough as it was to see, then, I think the way they've been able to build that program back up down in Providence is pretty impressive.
And I did listen to the game with you and your broadcast partner, Bob Beers, and it was a very somber final 10 minutes, and it's something that the folks who listen to the Boston Bruins and pay attention to this team is something that they're not accustomed to. What have you been hearing from people since the Saturday's game?
Yeah, well, I think it's just a disappointment for everybody, Kevin, and I think from our perspective, if you spend as much time as we do around it and you're around these guys on a daily basis, and if you don't become, attached to it in some way, then I think you're doing something wrong. I'd hate to think of, what it would sound like or how it would feel to me to just kind of be a neutral observer, And so it's disappointing. And I think, unfortunately, when it wasn't looking good, Pittsburgh had gone up 1-0, I think, in the second period. Mm-hmm. We had there was a monitor outside our booth in Tampa that, that had the Pittsburgh-Buffalo game on it. And so in between periods, there was a crowd of people watching that game. And we knew going into the third period of the Bruins game, Pittsburgh was up 1-0 and then up 2-0 in the third. And, we found out, as I said, with about 11 and a half minutes left that was it. And honestly, at that point, Kevin, the game is secondary, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're calling it to a degree and kind of keeping people apprised of, if anything real important is going on. But, the game doesn't really mean anything at that point. I will say I thought it was kind of a strange irony that it went to a shootout, with all the trouble the Bruins have had in shootouts this year. That might have been apropos that, here it is, the game, they officially get eliminated and it's still not over. They have to go to a shootout to play their final game of the year. So, certainly a high level of disappointment for everyone that cares, I guess, about the Bruins.
This being the first time in, 8 seasons since this team has missed the playoffs, what kind of changes could we expect to see from this team?
Well, I hope significant. I would say I've been kind of on record that I'm not a fan of some of these firings that people are talking about, be it with Peter Chiarelli or Claude Julien. I think it would be incredibly short-sighted, to be honest with you. This is a franchise that has really built itself up to great expectations over the last 8 years. Now, hey, look, you have a season like they did, and they're certainly open to criticism, and that's as it should be. I also think that I would look more at trying to change the mix of players. I think a lot of this, or most of it, does fall on the players. And I know that, in just hearing some of the things that have filtered out of media day today, I think they are, taking their fair share of the burden on. So I think it was obvious as the year went on, Kevin, they didn't have enough. It is a team, though, that, you know, it might sound a little hollow. 96 points is the most points ever to not make the playoffs. Mm. So they just couldn't maintain any level of consistency. And, you know, if you look at their final 19 games of, I think it was win 5, lose 6, win 5, and then lose 3 to end the season, I think that was a pretty good indication of just how most of their year went. So I don't think it's possible for them to come back with the same mix of players, and I don't think they should come back with the same mix of players. I think it's time for some freshness, if you will, in that category, and hopefully that's something they can achieve between now and September.
Is it any kind of a consolation prize that the Kings did not make the cut either?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a consolation prize, but it is the first time it's ever happened, right, that you've had the defending cup champ and defending President's Trophy winner both miss the playoffs the next year. I think it maybe speaks to the parity of the league a little bit. I would say I do look at the Kings situation, Kevin, a little bit different. You know, no team has played more games than the L.A. Kings over the last 4 years. And that's because they've won 2 cups and they've gone to the conference finals twice in that 4 year period of time. The Bruins, unfortunately, they don't really have that to kind of rest their hat on, if you will. You know, obviously they won a cup, they went to a final. They got knocked out in the first round in 2012. They got knocked out in the second round last year. So they've played a lot of games, no question about it, but not nearly the grind that the LA Kings have had to go through. And unfortunately, you know, they've kind of talked about it openly of it being a season of underachievement, and they feel like it was a season of failure, and it's hard to really kind of quarrel with that judgment.
Again, we are speaking with the radio voice of the Boston Bruins, Dave Gosha. Dave, I got to ask, you know, we look at players like Sean Thornton, Johnny Boychuk, Jerome Gindler, who played a role in this team over the past couple of seasons here. Do you feel that losing them, no matter what it was, whether it was via trade or not signing them back, was the key to losing the identity of the team and the lackluster play?
Well, I think it was part of it. I would say, Kevin, I think Boychuk, the timing of the Boychuk trade, I do think threw the team a little bit for a loop. If he wasn't the most popular guy in that locker room, he was pretty high up on the list. And I do think they had a hard time with that. The Aginla piece, certainly. You know, a quiet leader, but somebody who had, you know, his resume speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And I would even take it, you know, a step further. If you look at losing Sean Thornton to free agency, if you look at losing somebody like an Andrew Ferentz from last year, they've had some guys leave for whatever the reasons might be. That have provided valuable leadership for that team. And I think it's tough to kind of get that back. And I also think, Kevin, they've got to make a decision as to what kind of team they want to be. I think they were kind of caught in the middle this year. You know, if I asked you who are the Bruins, I don't know if right now even they know. You know, they used to be a hard, miserable team to play against. Mm. They really weren't that, you know, often this year. They used to have a lot of team speed. They used to be one of the top 5 teams in the league in goals scored. They weren't either of those things this year. So I think those are probably some of the meetings they're going to have as they move forward, and certainly they have enough time to do it, to try to kind of sort through, okay, is the trend of the league going to speed and skill? And if that's the case, what sorts of alterations do we have to make to our lineup?
Well, and it's funny you mention that, because that was kind of my next question. I mean, I'm curious if they can still play their brand of hockey, or has the league, you know, changed so much that there's more speed, and that you know, the grinded out defensive type of hockey that they play is something that might be irrelevant now.
Yeah, I think they, you know, I do think you still have to have a level of grit and sandpaper to your team. I don't think there's any question about it. I think we'll probably, you know, see that as the playoffs kind of unfold here over the next couple of months. But I do think the trend around the league has largely been to speed and to skill. And you know, it's something that, you know, the Bruins used to be, I think it was 3 of the last 4 years, they were top 5 in the league in goals. And this year, I didn't look at the final numbers, but I think they were 22nd. Mm. Their inability to finish scoring chances, their inability to, you know, to pad leads if they had them in games, you know, all kind of spoke to, you know, a team that needs to be kind of tinkered with here, I think, pretty significantly in the offseason.
What about injuries? I mean, you lost David Krejci for a while. You lost Zdeno Chara. I mean, how did those injuries, and Dougie Hamilton at the end of the season, how do those injuries play a role in where we find this team now?
Yeah, I think they were significant. I don't think there's any question about it. I know Chara said, at the breakup day that he's got his that PCL, I think it is, in his left knee is permanently torn.
Ooh.
But it's not something that will require surgery. But you pull him out of it for 7 weeks. You pull Krejci out for basically half the season. I know it's something that Claude Julien alluded to the other day is, you know, he felt they basically one of their top lines from last year had basically vanished with Krejci being hurt, McGinley being gone, and Lucic really not being the same player that he was when he was with those guys. So, but I would say this, Kevin, if you look around the league, every team deals with injuries. I made a point recently that the New York Rangers lost Henrik Lundqvist for about 6 or 7 weeks, and they won the President's Trophy for the best record in the league. So, it's something you have to deal with. And I think from the Bruins standpoint, when you couple that with players that had down years and did not reach the level you thought they were going to reach, you throw all that into the mix, and you kind of get what they're dealing with right now.
So would you see one of the core players? I know that Peter Chiarelli has really worked hard at trying to sign some of his core players, keeping the Milan Lucic's, the David Krejci's, giving them long-term contracts. Zdeno Chara, another one who got a nice contract. Dennis Seidenberg, they signed for a four-year deal. Do we see some of these players being traded away to kind of reinvent this team?
It could be, Kevin, yeah. I mean, I do think it's something they have to take a good hard look at this offseason is, the guys you mentioned, it was Seidenberg. Was it a one-year blip on the radar because he was coming off major knee surgery? It could be. I would say he did get better down the stretch of the season, but, you know, he's somebody that's, making, I think it's $4 million a year against the cap. Mm-hmm. Do they want to get more speed and mobility on their back end? And would that lead to potentially moving him? It could. The other guy that's been talked about, and there's no way to get around it, is Milan Lucic. You know, as one of the more popular players that I've seen in my time doing the Bruins. But at the end of the day, next year is the final year of his contract.
Yep.
And you've got to wonder, is he somebody that's going to want a 6 or a 7 or an 8-year deal from the Bruins worth a lot of money? I don't know if they'd be willing to commit that sort of term and money to him. So if that's the case, are they better off getting out ahead of it and potentially looking to move him or not? Again, when he's on his game, he's an enormous difference maker. But I also think that kind of accentuates when he's not on his game how much it stands out that he's not at times as much of a part of this as it'd like to be. So I think they look at who are the guys that who are the guys we can maybe live without, for lack of a better way to put it, and then they'll kind of, I think, try to tweak it accordingly.
Again, we are being joined by the radio voice of the Boston Bruins, Dave Gauthier, is with us just for a couple of more minutes, and I guess you're talking about what are they going to do, how are they going to be able to structure this? You got Milan Lucic, he's up at the end of next season. We saw, the reason why Johnny Boychuk got traded was because they had to free up some cap space. To bring in, to be able to re-sign Toy Krug and Riley Smith, at least give them a one-year deal until they extended Riley Smith. What kind of issues are they going to face regarding the cap come this offseason? Is it going to be still a problem?
Yeah, I guess a lot of that just depends on if they decide to move on from some players. I would say this, Kevin, they've got, by my count, 5 unrestricted free agents. Those being Soderberg, Campbell, Paille, Barkowski, and McQuaid. I think there was already some reports leaking out that they're going to move on from Gregory Campbell. You could make a case out of those 5 that maybe Adam McQuaid is the only one that returns. And I think even that would have to be at a number that maybe is, I don't want to say team friendly, but to a degree it would have to be. How much is the cap going to come into play? It depends if they decide to move on from some players. And again, that's all part of their offseason, I guess their offseason planning to a large extent. If they move players out that are making some significant money, you're going to need to take somebody back in theory that's probably making significant money, or do you try to, drafting and developing? Do you try to fill some of those roles from within. But I think that's all something that is still to kind of be determined as they move forward here.
Yeah, I would be kind of curious if they would bring back any of those five that you named. I mean, I would make a case for Carl Soderberg, but Ryan Spooner kind of, he developed later on in the season, and I think that makes Soderberg kind of expendable. With Adam McQuaid, you got, I think, Kevin Miller, who's kind of not only, he's got that toughness, but he's also oft injured like Adam was. I mean, this was the first season in the past couple of years that we've seen McQuaid on the ice for an extended amount of time without him being on the shelf.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the other part of it is I do think Miller will be around next year. Mm-hmm. Zach Trotman came up late in the season. He has a one-way contract next year. I expect he'll be here. I expect somebody like a Joe Morrow to be here. So if that's the case, then, you know, it's more than likely, I would imagine, that Matt Bartkowski would be a casualty of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, a lot of this kind of, especially with this all as fresh as it is going to be something that unfolds over the next few weeks and months. And, you know, and unfortunately from their standpoint, they've got, you know, a lot, much more time than I think they ever anticipated to kind of sort it out.
I guess just a couple more questions before I let you go. And I guess one of them would be any memories from this past season that you look back, whether they were positive or you just kind of scratched your head, that it still stays with you?
Well, I think, you know, they had some good runs. There's no question about it, Kevin. They went on, they played the best hockey in January. You know, and I don't know, maybe the All-Star break came at the wrong time for them. You know, they were, I think, one regulation loss in the month of January in 12 games, if I'm not mistaken. They came back, and things kind of went south on them in February. You know, they went on that long road trip. I think it was a 12-day trip, and lost 4 out of 5. You know, I remember them blowing a 3-0 lead in Calgary, losing a 12-round shootout in Edmonton, but then at the end of that trip, blowing out Chicago in Chicago, which I don't think anybody saw. But just the big swings in their play, which were so troubling. And I've got to say, Kevin, I looked at it in January and looked at that final 3-game road trip. Mm-hmm. And even though it was a long ways away, I just had this feeling that it was probably going to come down to that. And, you know, in years past, you wouldn't really think that. You'd look at that more as a trip where you might even leave some guys behind and get them some rest. They didn't have that luxury. And, you know, sure enough, they had so many opportunities to put it away. And I guess that's probably the thing that'll sting the most with them is for the longest time it was in their hands, and they, for a variety of reasons, could not take care of business. And, you know, I would say after that loss in Florida on, what would that have been, last Thursday,
yep,
there was certainly a feeling that that they had kind of let it slip away and it was over. And because they needed too many things to go right for them.
Right.
Going into that final game on Saturday, it wasn't all, you know, kind of in their own hands anymore. And once that happened, it's, you know, for a team, I would think it's a terrible spot to be in.
We get a little less than 2 minutes left in the program. I guess probably the most important question I have to ask you in this conversation is, what does Dave Gosha do with the remainder of the playoffs until training camp starts next fall?
Yeah, it's a good question, Kevin. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have any plans. You know, 5 months training camp is a long time, and you know, I'll watch a little bit. Probably as the playoffs get a little bit deeper, my interest kind of fades pretty quick if the Bruins aren't part of it, because I don't, you know, I think mentally your thinking is, even though it might not be completely reasonable, is your thinking is the Bruins should still be playing, but obviously they're not. So there's always something to do, right? Whether it's golf, whether it's time at the beach, whatever it might be. But, yeah, it's a lot more free time than I think, you know, I figured I was going to have at this time of the year. And it hasn't been this way in a long time, right? It's been, I know they got knocked out early in 2012, and in terms of not making it, I mean, 8 years is
been a while.
A long, long time ago. So it's not something any of us were kind of looking at, to be honest with you.
Well, I was looking forward to hopefully us having another conversation or two before the end of hockey season, but it came a little bit more prematurely than I expected. And I will look forward to, it's always a pleasure to hear you when you're doing like fill-ins or you're kind of hanging out on 98.5 and talking, whether it's hockey or, I mean, you're a guy who is more than just hockey. You know your sports, and it's always a pleasure to hear you on the dial whenever you are doing something. So we thank you for joining us this evening.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.